Hey guys, it's time for that question. Have you thought of alternate income streams, especially if you're a solopreneur, interior designer or decorator? Have you thought of alternate income streams that can help supplement your income when you're not just running over interior design or decorating projects? You know, I know a lot of decorators and designers out there, solopreneurs, and they are just focusing all their energy on their interior design jobs when they're here, and when they're gone, they wonder how they're going to bring in some income, and they don't really think of any alternate income streams rather than their interior design work. So I'm going to talk about five ones that I'd like to suggest could be something that you do. A lot of it relates to your expertise in where you were before you got into interior design. What sort of stuff have you done in your past career that you can tap into to help you support your interior design biz when things are a little bit slow? So if you're interested in that, stick with me. Let's have a chat. Hey guys, welcome to episode 11 of So You Want to Be an Interior Designer podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and write a review. It really helps with those algorithms. And I especially would like to request that you please subscribe to the channel. That would be awesome. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast, Spotify, Podbean, if you're watching or listening from the US, I'm just saying hi. If you're in Australia, hi as well, or any other country that I can see on those stats every week as this podcast starts to build up. So really pleased to have you here. Want to give you a little bit of information about what this podcast is about. It's really to help those aspiring mid-career interior designers or decorators, solopreneurs that need support in building their interior design business a lot of the time while you're still working 9 to 5. If you're still working and you're considering making this a full-time career, hang in there, hold on, let's turn over a few projects first while you're still working, and then determine whether or not you're going to make that big leap. So this is who that show is for, first and foremost. But if you're at any stage in your career, I am just happy to have you listening or watching. So today I wanted to talk about five ways that you can make an alternate income stream whilst you're plugging away at your interior design or decorating work. So one of the things that I know, I've got lots of decorator designer friends, one of the things I know is that most of the time you are sort of just plugging away at the design work. So that's all well and good while the design work is filtering through and flowing through. But what happens when it dries up? And it does dry up. At this particular point in time, I know a lot of designers that are kind of not that busy. They were busier last year, for example, and there's plenty of downtime to be able to work on other things. Now, if you haven't actually started to build up any other form of alternate income, that's if you're just doing this now full time. If you've decided that you're a designer or decorator full time, then you're not working. I've said before that I don't think there's anything wrong with keeping a 9 to 5 job. I actually work at the moment for a corporation that I love working for. And I do a couple of design projects a year that I'm really, they're warm leads, and I'm really happy to take them on. I get to decide what I take on and what type of work it is and whether I'll bother doing it, because I've got a process that allows me to do that. I can pay my bills every month because I've got a flowing income stream that doesn't just rely on whether or not I can snag a design job or keep them running indefinitely. What I wanted to say to you, though, is if you are, you know, at any point in your career, you could still be working, or you could be sort of, you know, you could have your significant other and you've been sort of given the option to work on your design and decorating business, and you're working on it really hard, but that's all you're working on. What I want to encourage you to do is to kind of start to have an alternate income stream. When I talk about me and my working, you know, in a 9 to 5, as well as doing my design projects, what I'm saying is you don't have to do that. I'm not telling everybody, and I just want to make this clear, that I think everybody should stay in their 9 to 5 role for any sort of, you know, business, for any other company or any other business for the rest of their lives. I'm not saying that at all. What I do want to bring to the table as an awareness is, how do you bring in some alternate income streams that don't just rely on interior decorating and design projects? So things will dry up a bit, and they do. I don't know any interior designer or decorator, or I know lots of them. Some of them will tell us that they're always busy, da-da-da-da-da. I wonder how much of that is actually true. And some will, you know, really say, hey, it's very quiet. As I said on the last episode, I had a lunch recently in the last couple of weeks, and everybody at the table, they're all designers, and they're all quiet. So this stuff is real. I know it's real. Let's get in with five ways that you can make money, or suggestions that you can make money that don't involve a new design client or design job. Now, what I want to suggest to you here is that your colleagues out there, other decorators or designers, they could be busier than you due to one reason or another. It's just we've got different lives and different ebb and flow in our business. And they may need you to support them in a part of their business that they don't really want to have to manage. Now, as solopreneurs, we want to manage everything to keep the costs down. But there are plenty of people out there, solopreneurs, or they might have a couple of staff or contract staff, that are busy and they don't want to have to do certain things in their business that you could bring in as an alternate income stream. So I want to start with the first one. How many of us are really great with Instagram and how many of us think it's a burden? I am starting to refresh my whole focus on Instagram. I am the first person to say that I do not enjoy the whole Instagram process, or having to think of posting what I'm posting about, how it's going to look on the feed, whether it's really pretty colors and the font is correct, is it the right spacing? What about those reels? What about those stories? I mean, what sort of story, what sort of timeline have I got? What sort of strategy have I got for Instagram in 2024? You know, I spoke about having goals recently on the program, and I also sort of said that's, you know, that's a really good way to start, is set your goals, chunk them down into quarterly sort of bites, and then start to tick off the things there. Now, I could set up an Instagram sort of strategy around those goals, but what if I don't want to actually physically sit there and work all that out? What if I don't want to post myself? What if I've got the dollars in there, some sort of budget for somebody else to take over the reins and do that? Now, one thing I'm suggesting is there are plenty of people out there that really are great with Instagram. Are you great with Instagram? Let's face it, it's a visual medium. Most interior designers or decorators need to be on Instagram to show their work. What they don't like doing, though, is to actually get on there and have to always do it themselves, come up with ideas, come up with hashtags that will bring in new followers and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Have you actually worked all that out? Do you have a pretty decent following? Do you, can you sort of get in there and offer a package to interior designers and decorators that help them to do that, to help take the weight off their shoulders, say for a monthly fee? Now, there are people out there that would like that. And if they're working and things are humming along, they've probably got the budget for that. That's just one thing that you can do. There are plenty of people that offer that kind of service out there, but I just don't know really a few of them. Actually, I don't know many off the top of my head. I know they're out there, but I couldn't really recommend to you one particular person that niches in Instagram, and you should go and speak to her about her amazing service. It's really awesome. So there's an opportunity there. It may not be your bag. You may not like Instagram, but if you do, and if you started to really work out how this all works, no one gives you a playbook on Instagram, do they? No one sent out a playbook to all of us interior designers and decorators and says, now, day one of your business with Instagram, this is how you set up a story. This is how you set up your feed. This is the font sizes. This is the size of the, you know, the square. This is the size of the story. I'm talking about, you know, all the graphics. So just think about it. If that's something that is your jam, consider an offer it to interior designers. You only have to get into certain Facebook groups where people are posting and talking to each other, and you'll find plenty of people that don't like doing it and could potentially be paying you a monthly fee to get that going for them. Something to think about. But that is option one, an Instagram growth package that you could offer, if that's your jam. Second thing is, are you really great with writing copy? Are you really good with, are you a wordsmith? Now, what I'm talking about here is about writing thrilling copy for interior designers or decorators for their website, for their blogs? Can you help them with a blog strategy? Can you help turn their ideas into thrilling, enticing stories that they could be publishing in blog format? Or could you be helping with their about page and service page, etc., so that what they might consider to be their boring old story, you can turn into this really exciting and enticing story as opposed to something flat and lifeless. So consider thinking about that. Now, you may think, Adam, I'm not a copywriter. I don't have a certificate or a degree or anything in communications or marketing. You don't need to. The other thing I want to say here is, what is your background? What is your background in terms of what have you had experience in the past? I know a lot of you listening to this are not just newbie designers that have come out of school age 21 and are, you know, just having started their road to interior design without any other kind of experience in life and in career. A lot of you will have already spent time in offices, corporate offices, different businesses. Now, for you, are you someone that's had to write emails and send out communications? Are you somebody who is a particularly good writer, copywriter? Can you turn boring stories into kind of captivating ones? You don't need a certificate or degree in that. You just need to be able to say, look, from my 12 years of experience in communications or my 12 years of experience working in an office where I had to entice people to come to events, meetings, whatever it is, whatever it is that you can glean from your history, just that is your story. That, there you go. That is your qualification, and that's all you need. The main thing you want to do is give examples, before and after examples, for example. So Jan has an interior design business, and she loves she's passionate about design, and she loves coral and Hamptons and breezy interiors. Now, if you just put that up on your website, people go, okay, that's great. But you might change it into something else. Jan is passionate about coastal. She lived near the beach with the wind through her hair, and her father was on a boat, and she, as a little kid, was on the boat with the whatever the souls are, or she did this and that with the, I don't know, make a story up. I'm not a great writer, but you can turn what could be a boring story into something that is really meaningful based on, you know, the person's background and what they experienced as a child and, you know, on the sea with their father until hours a day and night. I don't know, but you get where I'm going. So you just need examples of how someone's dull, boring copy could be turned into something really exciting, and you don't need to have a degree in communications to be able to do that. So have a think about that. Can you write for other people? Can you give them a blog strategy for the year that gives them a real exciting timeline? What do they want to focus on this year? What's kind of where they want to be at? They want to start in Jan next year and finish in December. And what's the story they want to tell over that 12-month period? You could be offering these kind of blog packages that you help, or strategy packages where you sort of not, you know, you're just sort of putting together a list of blogs they could be writing themselves. You don't even have to write for them, or they could write and you could edit, whatever. Just ideas. That's idea number two. Write thrilling copy or help people with copy packages. Number three, do you have a HR background, or have you dealt with human resources? That's what I mean by HR, in some form in your previous career. Now, I'm talking to you guys out there that have probably had a previous career to decorating or design. Has a lot of that been to do with human resources? Now, the other thing that designers and decorators, especially solopreneurs, don't get a handbook on is all of the human resource type stuff they need to think about. If they do hire not only a contractor, but a full-time person at any stage, what are the terms around how to manage that employment journey? You know, as soon as you start to take on an employee, there's all sorts of factors in there that you need to follow as an employer. Now, a lot of that you can get from your accountant in terms of the basics there, but there's going to be a lot of things that you can bring to the table if you've been in people management. So if you've been in any form of people management, you may need to get yourself, if you're not right up to date with, you know, the terms around, you know, salary and all that sort of thing, or contracts around hiring your first full or part-time employee, you may need to get yourself qualified in that for example. But what you can do is start to sort of look at your history and say, well, I've got a lot of, I do actually know a lot about the human resources side of things. And I'd like to share that, share my experience or offer that as a service that I can give to interior designers and decorators that actually are at the hiring stage if they're thinking of hiring. You can come in there and help them. You could niche that. You could be an interior designer, human resources consultant that you, and you could come in and sort out all of that for them. You could even include ways that they can work on development strategies for their staff. You know, people that haven't been in people, employers that haven't had a vast experience in people management may not even consider development or how to nurture their employees, their mental health. So there's all sorts of things in there that you could bring to the table. If you've got any sort of human resources background, people management background, you may even be qualified as a human resources, you may even be qualified as that title. A lot do come into design from that background. So I'm saying if you've got that, that's another thing you do is offer that, because I can tell you there's a lot of people out there that don't have a clue and they need to sort of search around for the right information on how to run or how to set up people in business as employees and then how to actually manage the whole journey. But remember that also includes the well-being of the person mentally as well as just the nuts and bolts of salary, sick leave, annual leave, all that sort of thing. Food for thought, HR for interior designers. Number four is, oh my gosh, how to market your design business. Okay, the feedback that I get the most in terms of being a major opportunity via my quiz, which is over at sayyouwantabeaninteriordesigner.tv/quiz. Go and take it if you haven't taken it, and only takes a couple of minutes. But the people out there that have taken my quiz, do you know what the reoccurring theme is that they don't feel that they are nailing it in is marketing. So if you can give any sort of marketing that works to interior designers or decorators, especially solopreneurs, it will be lapped up like you wouldn't believe. Of course, I'm thinking of how I'm going to take the feedback I'm getting from my quiz around the marketing side of things, and I'm very much focused on what I'm going to create and release in 2024 to meet those needs. I speak of some ways that I feel that we're best placed to get design jobs from working with our partners, say building partners, by creating finishing schedules for that type of thing, or that type of thing. That there is marketing, you know, and I've done different things in the time that I've been going as a designer that have really been probably things that a lot of people wouldn't consider doing. In 2019, I did a couple of wine and design tours. I did a Facebook show where I invited guests from the industry on, and we had a wine and design Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. Now, that was a form of marketing. I was tipping my feet into the water at that time. But what I did is I was working with a specific coach who was very good at marketing at the time, and she said, why don't you do a day tour where you get on a bus and take them around to all these design centres and, you have a wine at some point in the day or champagne or whatever. And that's exactly what I did, and it was very successful. Now, it took effort to do that, but I did it. I filmed it, and I did a couple of them. Unfortunately, COVID sort of happened after that. I was ready to go for my third round. But that worked. I got a client from doing this wine and design tour. That was taking six or seven women out around on a bus. And two people from the same, two out of the seven of that second wine and design tour I got work from. One was significant and one was a consultation. So, that was a good thing. Would I do them again in the future? Absolutely. They take a bit of work, but what does it do? It shows you as an influencer if you can do something like a wine and design tour. Could you help people to host events in showrooms and you help them invite people, maybe consumers that can come and hear them talk or give a presentation on decorating? That's another thing you can do. Most people need hand-holding in this. Do you know what I mean? Another thing you could do is help them to, hold a summit online where they speak to industry partners who come on and give a talk about their business. The one thing that you can help them do is to actually get the right people on to this seminar where you can share email addresses and all sort of gain from getting email addresses from each business that speaks at this online seminar or summit. These are all marketing ideas that no one thinks about because I think they also take a lot of work. People don't know how to do them. But you might be somebody that can help them with the marketing side of things. So have you got a marketing background? Even if you're not a marketer with a degree, you don't have to have a degree. What's your life experience in marketing? What's worked? Now, I just mentioned a couple of things there. I did wine and design tours. I didn't do the shop talk, but I was going to just before COVID. And I'm considering doing a summit in early 2024 where I invite industry partners on. You know, it could be a flooring company. It could be a rug company. It could be a lighting company. Invite them on to talk about their product and the importance of whatever it is that they're talking about. And then the thing is that you share, if they have an email list, you ask them to promote to that email list and you promote to yours. So they are marketing ideas. You know, I just spoke at a home show recently. That's marketing. I made sure that I got a video of that, which I'm still editing with my videographer. But that's marketing, getting yourself speaking at a home show or getting the person that you're helping speaking at a home show. If you've had any marketing experience, you only have to come up with a few ideas. Most of these people working in their businesses won't be doing any of that stuff. They're probably trying to get stuck into Instagram, and they might do a bit of Google Ads or SEO. They might even be wasting money on house. But do you know what I'm trying to say? You can go in there and offer to help them with specific strategic event type stuff that I just spoke about. If you've had any experience, make use of it and offer it as consulting type of services to interior designers or decorators. The very last one, I mentioned emails there. Most people are not, and this is number five, how to set up an email marketing list. Do you know how to do that? Have you been using MailChimp or any other program that manages emails and manages newsletters? Have you been doing that for a while and you know how to do it? Most people don't know how to set up a basic email set up, like MailChimp, for example. I'm using something called Flowdesk at the moment, which is really awesome. The emails are really chic, and I'm getting myself, you know, making sure that I'm doing weekly communications to my consumer clients as well as my now interior design people that are watching this, you guys out there that are watching this show. So anyone that's filling in my quiz, the design quiz that I talk about, that goes into one segment. And any of my consumer clients, and what I mean by that is my old design clients, like real clients, or people that have downloaded one of my freebies, which I've got one on my website at the moment called The Wow Factor, they're people that I consider consumers. So I might sell them a consultation, or I might talk about, you know, a full service design to them. I actually created a color course in 2021, and I sold that to the people on my email list. I filmed a video about color, a number of videos about color, and the course was called Color Magic. Now, I sold that. It was about $297, and I sold about 30 copies of it. I made about $10,000 out of it. I included also a higher ticket version of that, which included some time with me if they wanted to talk about color as well. But these are all marketing things. Have you set up an email marketing list before? Do you know how to set it up? Can you consult to interior designers or decorators and help them to set it up? Most people don't know how to set it up. If they're doing it at all, they're doing it every quarter, a newsletter every quarter. Who cares? They should be messaging or communicating to their database every week, and they should have a strategy on what they post. Now, if people don't have the time to do that, what I mean by that is interior designers or decorators, then you can help them with a strategy and basically take over the workload for them. I'm going to finish there. There's lots of information, but is this sort of, I hope that your mind is sort of going and you're thinking, gee, there's plenty of stuff here I could do. You might have other ideas of ways that you could help interior designers or decorators that are already working to give you supplemental income. It's going to take some thought. You are going to have to think about how you price all this stuff, but these ideas are all ideas that you can use. So I'm going to finish off there. I do want to ask you to go and make some notes, have a think about your superpower. We know you're a great designer, a decorator, and that's fabulous. But what else could you offer as a supplemental income? What am I doing? Well, I'm coaching newbie interior designers because I've had a million coaches. I've crashed and burned. I've had dreadful low times and I've had some fantastic up times. All of that experience qualifies me, darling, to be an interior design coach for new interior designers. So that is my additional source of income, and as well as interior design jobs and, of course, my other full-time job. So there you go. So action steps for you is have a think about what supplemental service you can offer and potentially think of adding that into your income mix, maybe for 2024. Now, if you haven't taken my quiz and you're flailing, you need some advice on where to go next in terms of your design or decorating career, take the quiz. It's down below. Say you want to be an interior designer. .tv/quiz. I urge you to go in there and see what it says in terms of what you could be focusing on next. It only takes about 2 minutes. It's about 15 questions, so hang in there and finish it off and do that one for me. And you'll get a report. You'll get an email link. And if you ever want to talk to me, you can reach out to me, adam@adamsgoogle.com, and I'd be happy to talk about those results with you. I'm going to leave it there. Final episode next week. And I do want to say that I believe in you, and I'm really excited for everything that can happen for you in 2024. I feel it's going to be a great year. I think we're turning around. There's going to be a lot of great stuff, great energy happening out there in the world in 2024. And I think you are going to have a fabulous year. And the sun is starting to shine. If it's dimmed out a bit, and if it's glowing brighter than ever, then congratulations. I want it to shine just as bright for you in 2024. So we're going to leave it there. Come and join me next week. It's the final episode for 2023, and we'll have a bit of a hiatus until late Jan 2024, where I start to bring on guests, and it becomes season two will be an interview series for the most part, or a mix of me and people that I interview that will be giving us lots of great information on ways to improve our businesses. So until then, I'm going to love and leave you. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time. Bye.